Coming up on All About Android, this week we discuss the Galaxy Fold fallout, more gesture changes in Android Q Beta 2. Pixel 3a might actually have a release date, or at least an announcement date. OnePlus 7 Pro details are out there now. Bye-bye to your BlackBerry Messenger, your emails, and a whole lot more coming up next on All About Android.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by LegalZoom. Check out LegalZoom today to see how they can make life better for you and your business. Visit LegalZoom.com and enter AAA at checkout for special savings. And by Capterra, find the right tools to make an informed software decision for your business. Visit Capterra's free website at capterra.com/AAA. And by Hover, register a domain name and build your online brand with Hover. Visit hover.com/twit to get 10% off your first purchase of any domain extension for the entire first year. Hello and welcome to All About Android, episode 417, recorded on Tuesday, April 23rd, 2019, your weekly source for latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I'm Jason Howell.
And I'm Ron Richards.
And I'm Florence of the Grey Gardens.
Whatever happened to Baby Jane, Florence?
How are you guys doing?
I'm feeling silly today. Yeah? I am excited. When it's the three of us, it's like we're just at home in our PJs sharing a pizza.
You can let your guard down a little bit. You can put in some...
A little bit, yes.
It's like called... my favorite time of day is casual Android.
Yeah.
Today, casual Android chat.
Yeah, today Ron's not wearing any pants. That's how casual it is.
I'm not wearing any pants. You can't tell. I'm not even... And I'm out in public, too.
I am wearing pants. Yes. They are purple.
Ron's even at a workspace. What are they called? A co-working space.
Whatever.
It's a co-working space that specifically allows for pantless working. So
right, that was actually one of the, like, when I went through the amenities, I was like, all right, do they have good internet? Right, is it, you know, is it open after hours so I could do the show? Can I get a private room? Do I have to wear pants?
And if so, do I need to come into the building wearing pants, or do I have to take them off while I'm in the room?
They're really supportive of alternative working styles here. It's great. They really just let you be you. So I'm very lucky.
You are very lucky.
It's a premium here in New York City. So
I imagine.
But it's great, Jason. You're back. We missed you last week.
You guys did a great job.
We had a fun time.
You missed 416 on 416.
416 on 416 with Jaime and with a very, what ended up being a controversial episode.
No kidding. Well, and when I was, just real quick, when I was listening to the Jaime, and we're going to talk about this story right off the top, but before we do, Jaime talking about it, there's a part in the interview where he notices that there's a screen protector on there. He's like, oh, then there's a screen protector. And listening to it after... the aftermath, which we'll talk about in a second, was just kind of interesting, like from the reviewer's perspective of like, oh, that's a screen protector.
You're stealing a little thunder, but I do remember that moment in the show, and I was like, there's a screen protector? And like,
dun, dun, dun.
But we're going to get to it.
All right. Why don't we get to it? Let's stop dancing around this topic. Victor, it is time for the news.
If All About Android was a 70s sitcom, the Galaxy Fold would be the oldest sister with all the attention and got hit by football.
Really, that one went off the rails, didn't it?
Yeah, I tried to get everything in all at once. I tried to get the tiki idol thing in there, too.
Oh, man. Yeah, you'd have to keep going. I think I'm just slow because I've been off for like a week, basically. You know, I'm having that with that, like, I've been away for a week and coming back, everything's really slow for me.
Yeah.
I didn't jump right to Brady Bunch is all I'm saying. I should have.
Okay. I'll choose something more. Culturally.
I think on a better day I would have jumped right to it. So,
Jason, you've been out of it. So let's catch you up on the drama, non Brady Bunch drama.
All right.
So as we mentioned earlier last week, we were very excited to be joined by Jaime and from Pocket Now and talk about the Samsung Galaxy Fold. And what we didn't know was we were on the eve of a very, very dramatic three-act play. So act one was when pre-orders opened up last Sunday, April 14th, and quickly sold out of the first batch of Galaxy Folds. They're really selling these to people.
Yay!
It was exciting, right?
Oh, then awesome.
Act two was the event or the press stuff where they gave the Galaxy Fold to members of the press, including our friend Jaime, friend of the show Jaime, including pretty much many, many, many people who've been on the show or folks that we talk about all around the Android press space. They gave it to reviewers. Everybody's using it. It's amazing. It's folding. And then literally the day after our show last Wednesday, reports started kind of just snowballing in from reviewers that their Galaxy Folds were breaking, like literally like unusable breaking. Dieter Bone from The Verge found debris had lodged into the hinge, which warped the display after one day of use. Steve Kovach from BI had screen flickering issues.
Yeah, pretty nasty too.
Oof. Yeah. The aforementioned at the top of the show screen protector caused problems for Mark Gurman, who mistook the plastic protective layer as a removable screen protector and removed it and broke the device because it's not a screen protector. It's actually a plastic sheet that keeps the device together. And finally, friend of the show, Marquez Brownlee, also tried to remove that layer. And he was the one who kind of did the, hey, guys, don't take the layer off video. Here's why.
Oh, my goodness.
Oopsie.
So that's act two. Very dramatic. It's the Empire Strikes Back of the Galaxy Fold story. Ends on a dark note. You don't know what's going to happen. How's it going to end? Luckily, we get part three. Where days later, Samsung announced it's delaying the release of the Fold. They originally scheduled the release for this Friday. They're going to delay it. They're going to announce a new date soon. And sources say Samsung is in the process of calling back the broken Folds from reviewers.
Oh, boy.
So I saw everything. I saw this referred to as Foldgate. I saw this. mentioned. This is a DOA for foldables right out of the gate. I saw people saying this is the next Samsung Galaxy Note 8 disaster, right? Basically, Samsung tried to do something new and blew it and thus ruined the entire line of foldables. Foldables are over. Move on. So do you think that's accurate? Is foldables is this the end of foldables, or is this just a bump in the road? What do you guys think?
Or a fold bump in the hinge.
A fold in the road, yeah.
Fold in the road. Ooh, early contender for a title right there.
Yeah. Sorry, I said Note 8. I meant Note 7.
Note 7,
it's hard
right.
to keep track. Yeah.
I mean, when you compare this to Samsung's previous aforementioned foible, which was the Note 7, and the fact that tons of people had them, and they were, you know, a small amount were exploding, but it was enough of a risk that they had to do a full recall. This probably doesn't compare to that from a customer impact perspective, right? Because I'm assuming more people probably had the Note 7 that had to be recalled than have pre-ordered the Fold. So I don't know as far as like a critical company emergency. Yes, right. Yes, yeah. Exactly. There were a lot of reasons why the Note 7 seemed like utter disaster. Yet Samsung came out of that. I mean, with shining, you know, colors and shining stars above it, somehow emerged victorious out of all of that. So something tells me Samsung's going to be okay. And I don't know that what this says about foldables as a category, but no doubt about it. This is a really big black eye. Because Samsung, I mean, they opened their press announcement with this. This was going to be the next big coming, you know, the next big technology. And this is the shining example of it. And here you have it. It didn't even release. It hasn't even released. It just, you know, got completely messed up on the way out the door. So no doubt about it. It's a big downer for Samsung.
I think this is saying a little more about Samsung and how quickly they rushed to kind of like be the first to market with this sort of thing and to just kind of like really hinged an entire year's worth of phones. Yes, it really hinged. I didn't even do that intentionally. And I wish I did because man, that would have been good. But yeah, it's... I think it just speaks to how quickly we're trying to just move things forward. Yeah. Just kind of, it just doesn't feel right. I feel like we should maybe slow down a little bit.
Well, I mean, that's easy to say in hindsight. I mean, sure. I think what really got me about this Yeah, what got me about this was just the velocity and, like I said, the snowball effect that happened on last Wednesday when it wasn't just Dieter Bohn. It was a parade of people, everyone having the same thing happen at once. And you've got to assume that everyone put in just about probably the same amount of hours on the device, right? Which I think says less about Well, it says a lot about Samsung rushing it, but where did they rush it? Did they sacrifice QA time? Did they actually put it through? There's a reason why we saw Pixels in the wild or iPhones in the wild is because, you know, employees of the company were testing it, were using it to give it that thorough, you know, overuse to see how it performs in the field. And you got to wonder if Samsung did that or if they just had it in the lab and then they rolled it. They skipped the step, it seems like. Either way, I mean, as a foldable evangelist, I hope this doesn't set back the entire foldable movement. But that said, if you go back and watch our conversation with Jaime, he wasn't high on it. He liked the Mate better than it, right? And so I don't think the Samsung One will define the foldable movement. At least I hope.
Exactly. Foldables aren't done. It's just that this one in particular was not the one to really knock it. Huawei seems to be fine.
Right, but we won't have that in our country, right?
Right. Yeah, and is that even out yet? Is the Huawei foldable? It's not actually officially.
Will we even know if something happens? Will they shout at us?
It would be really surprising to me if we found out that Samsung had like not done a good, you know, kind of a really solid testing period, putting this through its paces. A brand new category, already the category without ever having seen the hardware, everybody's already talking about like, well, what about the wear and tear over the course? You know, how does the display stand up to all that stuff? Samsung better have put a lot of time, R&D and real time testing this hardware prior. Otherwise, that's a big scar on their track record for this sort of stuff.
I bet they did put a lot of R&D into it. I think that ultimately what happened is this was the final design that they were like, all right, let's push this. We're going to push this one through.
People have been expecting it and all that.
And just like expecting that nobody would maybe say anything about it. I don't know. I think it should have been addressed up front to the reviewers that had the phones. Like, I think this is something that maybe should have been included in the box.
But I honestly believe that Samsung was surprised by this. I don't think that they would have given it to reviewers they expected this.
I agree. Yeah.
Right. And the thing was, is that like the screen protector peel off breaking it was just one of multiple breakages. If you see some of the photos and some of the examples, I forget all the tweets and everything. I see if I can find it. But there were people whose hinges broke and their displays broke, and it was not just because they took the screen protector off. It was multiple issues.
Yeah, so, Steve Kobach had the double displays that when you watch what he tweeted out, it was just all flickering and everything. Got replaced or was in the process of getting replaced before Samsung, I think, is just taking them all back. Gurman and MKBHD were the ones that had pulled off the thing, you know, pulled off what appeared to be a screen protector. And Jaime even, you know, mentioned in his kind of talking about the device on last week's show, oh, and there's a screen protector on there. So even from his perspective, he was looking at it, seeing it as a screen protector. Because guess what? On the Galaxy S10, out of the box, it ships with a screen protector already installed on the display. So to a certain degree, we're kind of programmed at this point to expect, oh, that's what that like difference that we see in the display of like glass underneath and then a little, you know, kind of edge, a transparent edge. That's what that is. It must be a screen protector. So I totally understand why they peeled it off. But I don't know. Like, what can Samsung do to make sure that people don't do that, though? Because that seems like a really easy point of failure. Like, if two people who are paid to be very critical of hardware that they receive and they review hundreds of devices, you know, in the course of their career, are fooled by this layer and think that it's something that should be peeled off. What about the everyday person, you know, that just pulls it out of the box and immediately is like, I don't use screen protectors on my device. Or is that the price of being dumb? Or, you know what I mean? I don't know. Like, read the manual. Maybe that's just the price of not reading the manual.
Yeah, Victor, I put in our doc chat the Mark Gurman's tweet, so you can see what his display looked like, which had nothing to do with the screen protector. Although he did take it off, though. So maybe it does have something to do with the screen protector. I take that back. But either way, it looks pretty bad. But as Uncle Bick said in the chat room, you know, Marquez talked to there's this video of Samsung showing the robot folding and unfolding it 200,000 times, but makes a great point that that's not how people use it either. You know, right. Like it's got to be able to be folded, put in your pocket, thrown in your bag, thrown down on the table, like all that sort of stuff. And who knows, you know, what kind of stress testing they gave it to. So I don't know. It's a new technology.
Yeah.
It's tough to expect people to buy, you know, like when you're dropping $2,000 on a brand new piece of tech like this, it's got to be worth the money. You can't let this happen. And at the same time, I don't believe Samsung. I believe Samsung was surprised by this. I don't believe Samsung expected it. Yet at the same time, I don't see how they let this out and didn't expect something like this to happen.
They didn't catch it ahead of time. Or,
it's fascinating. Yeah.
Interesting. I don't think foldables are done. I don't think we've seen. You know what I mean? This might just be growing pains. And I'm sure we'll see an actual release of the Galaxy Fold. At some point.
Yeah.
I'm curious to know what Samsung does from here. Do they, you know, put
They'll
a huge
back.
Thing on
They'll
their display
fine.
Out of the box that says, don't peel this thing with an arrow pointing down to it? Like, maybe that'll stop 99% of the people
that
buy it. I don't know.
They need to put another protector on top of it so you get the satisfaction of peeling one off.
Ah, there you go. Yeah. A protector for the
and
protector.
Service.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I heard you like protectors. So put a protector on your protector.
A protector.
Yeah.
All right. Cool. Let's move on. You got the next one.
So we're moving on to something that disgruntles me as a person. And that's the possibility that Android could lose its back button. I mean, I want you to imagine, what would you do without that back button?
In a world.
You could probably live without it. I don't know if I can. But unfortunately, that might be happening in the future, because XDA is saying that there is reason to believe that Android Q, still unnamed, might get rid of the back button once and for all in favor of a gesture approach. So strangely, the gesture doesn't use the pill at all, the one that we've kind of come to know in Android P. This one, it swipes from left side of the screen or right side of the screen to go forward back. So you are, I guess, imagine the gestures for a web browser. Currently, it's non-functional, but XDA posted a video showing how this particular gesture operates after an ADB command to enable it, though it's still a little too early to know what the gesture changes will, you know, whether they'll make it to the final build or whether this is just hanging out in the code, waiting to be tested.
So you use the pill then for all of your navigation except for going back. There you go to the edge of the phone and you swipe. That just sounds weird.
I don't get it.
It sounds weird. It sounds weird until you do it, and then once you do it, you'll be like, "Oh, okay, I get it." Like, because they're not going to roll something out in a version of the operating system that doesn't work. You know, I mean, like, don't get me wrong. Yeah. I like the back button, but I got to believe that there's some research behind this that is like, yes, you know, this people can actually use this.
Yeah,
it is tedious to have to go and search for a back button or wait for that navigation bar to sort of load. Definitely, like, if I'm trying to switch between apps really quickly, like, that's kind of difficult. And so I imagine that this sort of gesture would help kind of streamline that and make it so that you don't have that little pause in between switching apps.
Yeah. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I feel like I should just swipe the pill. Like, that worked on the OnePlus gesture system really well.
I haven't been using it because I've been using Launcher, which has different gestures.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe that's the problem. All the gestures are just way different.
That's,
it's like,
not
you've
got to
differentiate the gestures.
Too many gestures, can't keep up.
Exactly.
It's the solution. If you don't like it, install something else.
Yeah. Right. That's why Android is so great.
Welcome
and why
Android.
We're not limited to just one decision of the manufacturer. That's so you can get something else. So there it is.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we got a voicemail that I would like to play for you now.
Okay.
This voicemail caller, who is anonymous, has a question about audio balance on Android. Let's take a listen. Victor?
I have a small amount of hearing loss in my right ear, enough so that voices are no longer appearing in the center of my head when I'm listening on headphones. Is there a balance control option for Android that can be added so that I could reduce the left-hand side volume and pan it over towards the center? Thanks.
Like an equalizer.
Wow. Like straight to the point.
So straight to the point. I like it. And this is funny because I was actually just last night I was editing some video and the audio balance was off and people were in the right ear and not in the left ear. And so like I can already put myself in that mindset and it can be very frustrating. Yeah. Luckily, we'll cross your fingers, anonymous caller, because the Android Q beta number 2 build has for the first time accessibility options for audio balance, which is exactly what you're talking about. So if you're running Android Q beta 2, go to settings. And accessibility, and then audio and on screen text to find the left right slider. That thing is that exists in the current beta build. If we kind of hope this makes it to the final build of Android Q so that you can actually use it. But it looks as if they're, you know, as part of the accessibility options, they are looking to add this. But other than that, Samsung phones have a setting called Adapt Sound that actually conducts a hearing test and emphasizes certain frequencies in ways that might correct deficiencies. So if you have a Samsung phone, there's an option. And then finally, there's an app called Sound Assistant for audio tweaks like balance. So to our point earlier about Android being open, you need something. There's probably an app for that. And here it is. It's a Sound Assistant that you could download and use immediately. Is that, Jason, is that what you have up right now, or is that a Samsung that you have?
No, what I was showing off is I'm running the beta too. So
okay.
Back there in accessibility settings. Of course, you know, who does this apply to? Very limited number of people at this point.
Hey man, I'm like maybe like a year or two away from needing this. So
Yeah, well, and I can completely understand the need for this. It would be nice to be able to do it on a system level because, you know, your hearing will probably never get better. It's probably just going to continue getting worse. So if you have one ear that's worse than the other, you can kind of, you know, make the adjustment for yourself. And at least in your head, things are going to sound a little bit more balanced. So that's what this might be used for. And that's why you're probably going to find it in accessibility. It's here in the beta right now. I imagine this will end up in the final, but hey, at this point, you just kind of never know. But that's a useful feature. I feel like it should have been there all along. I don't know why balance seemed like such a feature in like stereos and everything that we've had for as long as I can remember stereos, because I've always lived in the stereo age and not mono sound in like stereos and speakers or whatnot. So it's kind of interesting that this is like a new feature to Android. But
don't want your mono sound.
Who wants mono? Whatever. All right, let's take a break and thank the sponsor, and then we'll talk about some hardware, lots of rumory stuff, and some news in there as well. But first, this episode of All About Android is brought to you by LegalZoom. If you're running a small business, you already know that it is a ton of work. Running a small business is not easy. That's why not, you know, everyone does it. It's hard work. It takes time. It takes money. And you want all the time and money you have to go towards growing your business. But what happens when legal hurdles pop up, as they will somewhere along the way? Well, LegalZoom is there to help you out. Nearly 2 million Americans have used LegalZoom to start their businesses with LLCs, incorporation, and so much more. Even after your business is set up, LegalZoom can still help you out. Things like lease agreements, changing tax laws, contract reviews, they're all a part of running your own business. And these are precisely the kinds of costly hurdles that can take time away from growing your business. You want to spend your time actually growing your business, not dealing with the minutiae and stuff that pops up. That's why LegalZoom created their business legal plan. You can get advice for running your business from vetted independent attorneys and tax professionals available in all 50 states. Best part is you will not get charged by the hour since LegalZoom is not a law firm. Law firms love charging you by the hour, and you know how fast that adds up. I love LegalZoom. I've said it before. I've used LegalZoom since before I even worked here at TWIT to put together my will. When we had our first child, and it was just a super straightforward. We still have the package that you end up getting this really nice quality big package that you can just like zip up and stash away in a safe place. It was really nice. Make your time and money work for you. Check out LegalZoom's business legal plan at LegalZoom.com, and you'll get special savings when you enter AAA or AAA at checkout. That's LegalZoom.com and enter AAA for special savings. LegalZoom, where life meets legal. And we thank them for their support of All About Android. All right, time for some good stuff in hardware. Let's jump in.
Listen, if Google doesn't embrace the Google 3-axle, I just don't know what anymore.
3-axle. Ooh, I think I just figured out who the music's going to be at Google I/O.
You better hope that's true or hope it's not true.
Could you imagine Axel Foley? I, where do you go?
I do have to say that, in 2016, I saw them at AT&T Park in San Francisco.
And?
Going in expecting the worst and actually had a great time.
I would imagine that would probably be a pretty good show.
It was a great show.
Yeah. Maybe they're a little humble at this point.
So, Florence, Guns N' Roses was a band in the late 80s.
Yes, I know who Guns N' Roses is. Okay. Thank you. Yeah.
So Axl Rose in 1987 in the Welcome to the Jungle video, I think he's wearing as much makeup as you are right now.
Probably. I did not mean to wear this much makeup, by the way. I'm trying some new looks, and it came out a little darker than I like to use Albat Android to test out new things.
To test out your goth. Look, no, you know what? I blame.
It's
think
not supposed to look goth. That's the thing. Is I look a lot brighter. It's just because I'm in this room.
We support you. That's all good.
Yes, you be you, Flo.
By the way, and the chat room does correct Jason. It's Axl Rose, not Axl Foley. Axl Foley is Eddie Murphy in Beverly Hills Cop, and Florence Beverly Hills Cop was a movie in the 80s starring Eddie Murphy, a popular comedian. Yes.
So. You're right, and this is not the first time I've done that. I'm probably not the only person to do that. Let's be real; there aren't many people that I know named Axl.
A lot of Axls in the '80s.
Axl Rose, Axl Foley—they're basically the same person. Google I/O is literally right around the corner.
Yep,
watching. Anyway, apparently there might actually be some hardware at the event.
Took me a second, but then I got it.
All right, good. There might actually be some hardware at the event this year. Google posted a teaser to the Google Store saying something big is coming to the Pixel universe on May 7th. And you know what also happens on May 7th? A little Google I/O keynote of some sort. Total coincidence, I'm sure. Or probably not. Apparently, they're also touting a tie-in with the Avengers Endgame, which maybe Ron cares about, with an AR Play emoji for Pixel devices. That's exclusive to Pixel devices. So we've been pretty used to there being no hardware at Google I/O. It kind of sounds like they're not only are they going to have hardware there, but they're going to like release a new phone there. That's kind of new.
I hope they do it just to keep us on our toes and stop saying, oh, it's just a developer conference. And like they can use this however they want to. And so they want to roll out hardware again. They'll start rolling out hardware again. There's no rules.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. I wonder if everybody's going to get a mid-range phone at Google I/O.
And it's going to be tied in with the whole thing about how important it is to include all of the world in all of the apps.
Actually, yeah. And actually now that we're kind of talking through this, that would not be out of line at all, considering any time at Google I/O when they've given out a phone in the past, it's not like it's been a top of the line phone. It's been a Nexus phone, which has typically been kind of in that mid-range price category, not always top of the line, you know?
Exactly. And I bet they're going to make it super low-key. It's not going to be like the actual Pixel event that happens in the fall. It'll be like, hey, we're going to talk about this. And then developers now can buy this phone to do these things with it. And it's available on this date for this price. And it also has the impeccable and amazing Pixel Visual Core processor. See? I wrote the speech.
Oh, very good.
Wow.
You didn't include Axel Foley, though.
I didn't, no.
Okay.
That's in the after. That's when they played a little the concert at the end of the day.
Okay. Good. They better. Apparently, the 3A and the 3 Axel will be offered not only on Verizon, which Verizon has had the exclusive, which I don't think I realized until I was kind of reading the articles. I was like, really? Verizon's had the exclusive on this? We probably talked about that many times, and it didn't click.
The exclusive carrier promotional material.
Oh, okay. Well, yes. now so apparently like, T-Mobile's on
there. Through Google, but the carrier couldn't like have a commercial around it. Like only Verizon could have a commercial around it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, that's weird. So if you didn't have Verizon, you were like, oh, nobody was trying to upsell you on the Pixel. You had to come to it on your own.
Yeah, right. Somehow. Well, apparently T-Mobile is going to be on the boat. Yeah. And then Android headlines say they have exclusive first look renders of the new phone. So if you're wondering what it looks like in an exclusive sort of way, there you go. Bezels are back, baby. No notch, no teardrop, no nothing up there. It's just a forehead and chin like the old school.
Just a good old phone like you remembered.
Yeah.
A good old phone.
Good old phone. Just a good old phone.
With a full face.
Never mean no harm.
So there you go. The 3A and the 3 axle coming to a Google I.O. near you, which Google I.O., by the way, not next week, but the week after. We are working on something very special that week. Usually in the past, we've had interviews with Google execs, and it's very possible that's going to happen again. So we're still trying to firm things up.
We're interviewing Pikachu. To coincide with the launch of Detective Pikachu. Actually, I knew it.
I've been telling you
what a great idea to get Pokemon in on the advertising. Sorry.
That will be all you. If we are in fact interviewing Pikachu, I'll just watch.
Played by Ryan Reynolds.
You'll have all of the important questions to ask. The hard-hitting Pikachu questions.
So a week after Google I.O., then OnePlus is going to have an event. So yay, that's 2 full weeks of hardware fun, which will be fun because it's OnePlus and they've become a really big player in this game. CEO Pete Lau actually shared some details with The Verge. There will be the OnePlus 7 and a OnePlus 7 Pro. Now, the Pro will have a significant display upgrade. The rumors suggest a 90 hertz screen, and not just for gaming, but system wide. So all that Hulu that you're going to watch is going to be refreshing fast. Supposedly OnePlus is spending 3 times the amount on the new display tech that does this sort of 90 hertz maybe thing. The Pro will also support 5G because that's everyone's favorite buzzword for 2019. And the Pro will also be on par with the price of the Galaxy S10. So it's not going to be, well, it says the Galaxy S10. It doesn't say which Galaxy S10.
Oh.
Because the S10e.
Yeah.
Anyway.
My understanding is that it's going to be a lot more expensive. So I would guess it's probably going to be up there with the 10. And
I think we're talking specifically about the Pro version.
Right. No, this is about the Pro version. Yes.
Because it's going to have that display, that refresh rate. Also, more Pro rumors, just kind of round them off. 3 rear cameras, nearly bezel-less, which we've seen OnePlus moving towards. Curved edges, a pop-up selfie cam. Finally, America will have a pop-up selfie cam to adopt all on its own. And
10 gigs of RAM. Pop-up cameras, Ron's other favorite thing.
It's the future.
I know, and Ron, you're on the OnePlus train now, so
I am. I'm excited about this. Look at that pop-up camera. Look at that. Look at that cute little nubbin sticking up.
Oh, look at that thing. It looks like it would hurt if you ran into it the wrong way.
I mean, here's the thing. We gave the notch so much crap and so much, the criticism.
We did this.
This is a solution that gets rid of the notch and gives you a full screen with no interruption, but still gets the dumb selfie cam. I'm someone who will never use it, so I will never pop it up. And I get the whole screen back.
You might pop it up to show someone, though.
Right. Like, look at that. Hello. And it pops up. I go, look at my phone pop up.
Now, the next phase, I think, is a foldable selfie cam that folds pops up. To pop up. It goes.
Yeah.
Like us.
Well, I'll tell you who won't be delivering that phone, Jason.
Who?
And that's Yoda devices.
Oh, no.
You might remember friends of the show. Not really. you might remember the phone that we were enamored by, the Yoda phone, which in all of this foldable, kind of interest and mayhem. Let's not forget that years ago, the Yoda phone brought us the phone with a dual screen with an e-ink display on the back of it. And you can see that there on the video. If you're watching the video, you can see a sample of that. We talked about it a lot. We were very bullish on the idea of a dual screen. We thought it was really interesting. Well, unfortunately, Yoda Devices is now reportedly bankrupt. The reasons for their bankruptcy, not surprisingly, poor sales, as well as a costly lawsuit charging that Yoda phone refused to take and pay for the number of phones it ordered for its first couple of phones. And now, of course, foldables are kind of stealing their thunder anyway. I mean, honestly, when was the last time we talked about a new Yoda phone? It seems like they were doomed from the get-go. Yoda phone, rest in peace. We hardly knew ye.
But it was nice to have you around.
Yoda phone, train yourself to let go of everything you fear to lose.
Here's a question. Could we have even fathomed the foldable revolution that's going on now if we didn't have the dual-screen Yoda phone 4 years ago?
I mean, that's a good point, especially, when you consider that, like, the Samsung Galaxy Fold has the display on the front and then has the display on the inside. I mean, that's part of the evolution. That's part of the script, I'm sure. Bleak is adamantly opposed to what you just said, though, Ron.
Well, that's not a surprise.
He's saying, come on, it's not even the same thing.
It's not the same thing, but the idea of a second screen, I feel like that's the same. It's in the arena.
It's an evolution of the idea that one screen is not where it all ends.
Yeah, it's in the ballpark.
Canon. I'm furiously looking for Yoda quotes that would apply to the Yoda phone demise.
Do or do not.
There is no
Yoda.
No, try not. Do or do not. There is no try. judge me by my size. Do you? No, that doesn't work. always two there are. No more, no less. A master and an apprentice. I was thinking the two screens. So that would kind of apply.
Yeah.
I like that attempt.
Thanks. this is why we do shows where it's just the three of us.
Yeah. So we can practice new material. Yes,
for our stand-up comedy looks, routine that nobody comes to. We have an email from Mark from Maryland who says, just a thought. With the seeming disintegration of a lot of the Nest management, maybe the product line, is it possible Google is moving other failed products into Nest in preparation for a large write-off of the acquisition division? Implication would be that the Google Home Hub, whatever it's called now, is a financial failure. What do we think?
That's a whole lot of speculation right there, Mark from Maryland.
Yeah, I wouldn't say financial failure.
Yeah,
I don't know. It's nonetheless, it's confusing. I think it's just Google being Google.
Yeah,
I think they're just trying to sell stuff to the Nest people who might not be into the Google stuff. Honestly, I think they're just trying to make it easier on their marketing department.
Yeah,
I mean, we talked about the rebranding of the Home Hub. I think it's purely to go after Nest users who are just blind to brand. I think that's what it is. It's just a cash grab.
But I like the speculation. Keep it coming, Mark, and everyone. AAA@twit.tv. We will read your speculation on the show. Shoot it down.
Tell you why you're wrong, or maybe you're right. And hey, if this turns out to be true, Mark from Maryland, you will get all the credit.
That's true.
Exactly.
It's on the record now. Let's take a break. Thank the sponsor, and we will then jump into some very interesting app news actually this week. First, this episode of All About Android is brought to you by Capterra. Capterra is the leading free online resource to help you find the best software solution for your business. Maybe you're just starting out, or maybe your business is growing and it's time to change the software to become more efficient, or you'd like to add new software, whatever your business need is. Capterra is there to help. You can read thousands of real software reviews and find the right software for your business. All you have to do is go to capterra.com/AAA. There you're going to find over 850,000 reviews of products with 30,000 fresh reviews available each month. You can discover everything you need to make an informed decision. Search more than 700 specific, and I'm talking very specific categories of software. So whatever you happen to be looking for, CMS, email marketing, IT service, SEO, workflow management, just to name a few. Once you choose a category, you can filter your results by product rating, users, deployment, features, and then you can compare them side by side up to four at a time so you can get a really good look at all the features and how they stack up to each other. So, you know, maybe something has more importance or more value to your business. Make sure that it's there, obviously, and you can easily weed out the ones where it's not. They'll even show you a list of related categories for further options. It's really super easy to kind of dive right in. It's also easy to kind of get lost in all of the options. It's kind of fun to look at all this software and be like, wow, really? Yoga management? There's like software created specifically for yoga management? And sure, the people in the yoga, you know, fitness world who are running businesses like this, they probably already know it. But it's interesting to see just how specific this software gets. And when you're new to that whole world of software, it's hard to know which is the best. So that's what Capterra is all about. Capterra believes that software makes the world a better place because software can help every organization become a more efficient, effective version of itself. No matter what kind of software your business needs, Capterra makes it easy to discover the right solution fast. Check out Capterra's free website today at capterra.com/AAA. That's capterra.com/AAA. I'll spell it out for you. CAPTERRA.com/AAA. Capterra, software selection simplified. And we thank Capterra for their support of All About Android. And now, lots of stuff in the apps segment. Including the end of a bitter war.
This little bit of news was so, I was so excited that I texted you guys in as soon as I saw it.
Yes, you did.
Yes.
Yes, you did. So those of you who may have not heard, Google and Amazon have made nice on something, on one thing in particular, which is that after years of not offering each other's entertainment products on each other's platforms, they are now making it available to all users. So what does this mean? Well, if you remember, Amazon would not sell the Chromecast in its online marketplace, and Google pulled YouTube apps from the Fire TV and Echo Show, so those in the Amazon ecosystem couldn't come over to the Google side. So last year, Amazon began selling the Chromecast, kind of helping warm over the ice that had just really formed there. And now YouTube will again be available on the Fire TV and Prime Video on Chromecast and Android TV. YouTube TV and YouTube Kids will follow soon after. So it kind of makes sense because this is, I mean, you got to expand your user base and your audience and make it available for more people. But I will say that I tried to find the Amazon video app or any sort of Amazon app on Android TV the other night and came up empty. So I'm still waiting here
for
on
now.
My end.
Yeah, came for up now. Empty for now.
Yes.
Wade County in chat says Google and Amazon is the couple that always breaks up and gets back together.
Well,
fun for the kids, frankly.
When did they? I mean, but they never got back to. This is the first time this segment got back together. It's always been a breakup. It's always been animosity. Yeah. It's always been Hatfields and McCoys. And this solves so many. Well, I don't know. This solves a huge problem in my household, but then creates a new one. Because the reason why is that I am very technical, as you can imagine. My significant other is not, right? She just wants to watch TV. And you've got to open the app. You got to do the Chromecast, blah, blah, blah. And she has a phone not an Android phone. She has another phone. And she doesn't like to put apps on it. Don't get me started. but I taught her how to Chromecast YouTube TV from her browser on her laptop, right? So that's how she watches TV. It's great. Because of this Amazon Google rift, we also have a Fire Stick, right? Yeah, that I can, because we like to watch Catastrophe and the Romanovs and Mrs. Maisel, like all the Amazon shows, we want to watch them. Now, the problem is that I have a TV that only has two HDMI ports. and one is being used by my computer, and the other one is either plugged into the Chromecast or the Fire Stick, right?
Yep.
So whenever I want to watch one, I need to unplug the HDMI cable, plug it back in, or whatever it is. So now
nightmare.
I'm in a world where I can just plug in the Fire Stick, and we could use YouTube TV through the Fire interface, except for the fact that I like Chromecast, and I'd rather Chromecast my stuff. So while this is great and makes things easier, it also makes things harder. So I realize I have a very specific problem here.
So then what would be the solution in your case? You prefer the Chromecast.
But the solution in my case is to get my wife a better phone and teach her how to Chromecast. And now that Amazon Prime video app is Chromecastable, then we're fine. Like, then it's great.
Or upgrade the real your solution. TV.
Yeah, the real solution is that I probably should just use the Fire Stick because she wants a remote. She was saying that. She's like, I just want a remote. You know, like I want to navigate. We go to our parents'
house.
I
really like the Xiaomi Mi Box. It's really nice.
Well, it's only $50. I upgraded our TV. You know, we talked about that around Christmas time, and it has Chromecast built in, but then it also has its own apps for things as well. So you kind of get the best of both worlds, right? Like if I was to connect and Chromecast to it immediately, the TV recognizes it and automatically switches over to the Chromecast thing so that I can do the thing the way I want to. But if your wife wanted the stick, the Amazon Fire Stick, maybe you just need to upgrade your TV.
Don't get me started on the TV. I'm on a 32-inch Vizio because that was a negotiation in and of itself because because she doesn't want a big TV and I needed a computer and she doesn't want two monitors in the living room, which is fair. So we compromised and we got a TV that I can use as a monitor, but I didn't want to get too big a one because then it's just hard to use that. Anyway, it's a whole thing. but Virgil in the chat room has a good suggestion to get the NVIDIA Shield Android TV console. Mm-hmm. And just use that, and then you get a remote, and I can Chromecast to that, and all that stuff.
Oh, heck yeah, we have that at home. It's amazing. So, it's awesome.
I should use that. Check that out.
That's a really good.
They're still updating it too. So
it's a really good emulation box too. Just saying.
Yeah,
it's really good for gaming emulation. Anyways, that's what you should do.
Yes. All right. Well, moving on from that, so Google and Amazon are saying hello to each other, and an entire community is saying goodbye to BBM. I was actually in the elevator at work, and they have one of those little TVs with little monitors with news, and it said how BBM was shutting down. And I was like, "It didn't already shut down?" For those who don't know, BBM is the old BlackBerry Messenger platform app that actually ushered in a generation of group messaging amongst BlackBerry users. MTech, who acquired the rights to BBM in 2016, announced last week that the final days of the consumer version of BBM are upon us, as the end of the service is coming to an end on May 31st. They said that despite investing in the service, they couldn't attract new users. Users were warned that they will lose all their data when the shutdown happens. And then, predictably, people got really upset. And the BlackBerry CMO, Mark Wilson, announced the company is throwing a lifeline to those users. They will now open up BBME, an enterprise version of BBM, to individual users. You can get it free for a year, and then $2.49 every 6 months after that, so $5 per year. No word on if the data will be portable from BBM to BBME or BBME or whatever it's called. It's hard to say that. BBME.
BBME. I don't know.
And I think it's ridiculous. Just give people a way to get their messages, dump the messages, and move on. Like. Yeah. Say goodbye. Really? You're holding on to BBM? Really? Like, what phone are you using BBM on that you need that data for?
People really like their BBM, apparently.
Yeah.
Apparently. Nah, I never really used BBM very much. I was on a BlackBerry for a very short amount of time.
I hated
it. It was a big deal in Europe when it was around. Yeah. Like, I just remember it was the thing kids used.
Yeah.
I remember I had a BlackBerry for work. I didn't want one, but they gave me one. And then my sister and her friends all had BlackBerries. This is pre-smartphones. And they all started using BBM. And that's why they loved it, because they're all chatting. Now they're all in WhatsApp, right? So same idea, just a different application. But, like, they loved it. And they weren't, like, business people. She's a teacher. Like, they were all teachers and they were using it. It was crazy.
Yep, a trendsetter, paved the path for the messaging services that we use now. But
yep,
its time has come.
Indeed.
And finally, Google continues to make its changes around how it runs its Android business in the EU. It is appealing all the stuff that happened last year, the EU ruling around antitrust, anti-competitive behavior, all that kind of stuff. But like Microsoft before it, Google will now offer European Android users options when setting up their devices for the first time, or when existing device owners receive an update that would bring this change. Basically, once they open Google Play for the very first time, they're going to get a screen that's going, or two screens. The first screen is going to walk them through the path of installing additional search services on the phone along with Google Search. So Google Search will still be installed, but you could add something else like DuckDuckGo or whatever. They're basically making it part of the whole process. And then the second screen would be for installing additional browsers. So, you know, giving the option for Firefox, Microsoft Edge, Opera, that sort of stuff. And I'm sure this sounds very familiar to anyone who, you know, followed all of this when it happened with Microsoft years and years ago. The app selection is going to vary depending on the country, so you'll get different apps based on where you are. They'll be displayed in a random order and chosen based on the popularity in those regions. So they'll surface kind of a random handful based on the popularity in the Play Store, and then, you know, display them randomly so they're not seen as giving preferential treatment to anyone. And it'll also guide users on how to select them, how to use them as defaults, install widgets, place icons. They're really holding users' hands on bringing some competitors onto those devices to make the EU happy. So there you go.
Everyone wants to please the EU.
Google has to please the EU.
Yeah.
If it wants to do business there.
It's like the EU's S list is like the UK, Google, Microsoft.
Right? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So choice. That's what it looks like. And it just reminds me of Microsoft, of days of yore. I think that's about it as far as that's concerned, except one final email. And that's for Flo to read.
And I want to apologize in advance if anybody hears my cat yowling in the background.
I did hear something. I wasn't sure if it was a cat or a baby.
I apologize. I can't. She's very old. So anyway. Ah. Yeah,
wow, she's very old.
So she asks for things very demanding now. She's like, I am old. Give me what I want. Okay. Sorry, everyone. You can't control them. Okay, so we were talking about what Android Q was supposed to be called. We still don't know. We just don't know.
We won't know until we know.
Exactly. But you are all out there helping us, which we really appreciate. And so this one comes in from Jim. Jim's suggestion is cheesecake. Pronounced cheesecake because QI is pronounced chi as with charging.
Oh.
Stretch. But it's better than kints.
Okay. Well, maybe someone really likes kints and thinks that kints or quince or whatever it's pronounced.
Or quince, quince. Yeah, I think it's quince.
Quince is actually a really good choice. But cheesecake, pronounced Q-I, cake. That's creative.
Clever.
It's a stretch.
Does Jim know Mark from Maryland or what?
Yes, right.
You know what? I appreciate it. Thank you, Jim, for sending this in. That was
it is clever.
That was very creative.
It is creative. Yeah. It's a good thought. Could happen. Yeah. And you know, it could be just alluding to the wireless charging capabilities of, I don't know. Yes. It's clever. I don't think it's gonna happen.
But all right. Shall we thank the next sponsor?
Yes, please.
All right, this episode of All About Android is brought to you by Hover. And listen, building your online brand has never been more important. And buying a domain name for your passion is the first and biggest step to building your personal brand online. It's the starting point. You need a good domain name. Keeping your domain name separate from hosting gives you the flexibility to choose the right platform for your business. And that's great advice. You should heed that. No one wants to be stuck with a solution that doesn't meet their needs. And who doesn't need a domain name? Nowadays, it feels like everyone has one. So it's more important that yours stand out. And Hover has over 400 domain extensions to choose from. The one that we're really digging lately here is the .me top-level domain. .me is a unique extension to use your portfolio to showcase who you are and what you do. If you've got a portfolio website ready to launch, you get the .me extension. And Hover offers the best-in-class customer support team and no upsells. They have clean and simple user experience and interface. They have personalized email that matches your domain to further support your online identity. And the Hover Connect feature allows you to connect your domain name to many website builders with just a few simple clicks. And Hover makes it so easy. You got an idea for a domain name. You're going to go register it, getting it all set up. This used to be such a hassle. Like, oh, man, you'd get an idea and you'd want to start, and getting the domain name would be the hurdle that would keep you from developing your idea. No more. Hover makes it so simple, and you can connect it to whatever website builder of your choice. Hover makes it that much easier. And listen, I'm telling you, this is the year. You're going to find a domain name for your passion, and you're going to visit hover.com/twit and get 10% off your first purchase of any domain extension for the entire first year. That's hover.com/twit for 10% off your domain extension for a full year. We thank Hover for their support and making it easy to get domain names. Thanks, Hover.
Thank you, Hover. Ooh. All right. And with that, those horns you hear in the distance, those are the sounds, the battle cries of the arena.
So many enter, but only one.
Android Arena from last week. It was but two apps that entered, and only one will win. And
No Tinger
wins at 59, all right around 60%. Who was that?
That was Flo.
That was Flo. Congratulations, Flo.
So, Jason, while you were gone, because Jaime had to leave, we identified that we were in a very unique arena situation where we'll both win.
Oh.
Because even though I lost, yeah, I won, because you weren't there and the guests weren't there. So not only did Flo take the lead, I gained some ground on you, mister.
Oh, boy.
So it's pretty good. And what that means is that I've got 29 points. I'm in last place.
Uh-huh.
Jason, you're in third place with 32 points.
Oh, boy, so I'm
knocking
there
on the door. Damn. I know. The guests fall to second place because Jaime, he threw in the towel. He couldn't hack it. No, he had to go. It was great that he came on. He loved Jaime. The guests have 45 points, and Flo takes the lead with 49 points.
Wow. Man, I'm sweating right now. I could end up in last place here. So I was out last week. Does that mean I go first?
I came in last. Do I go first and you go second?
Okay. All right. We can do that.
Right. Let's do that. All right, so I thought this was interesting. This should be real quick, but podcasts are all the rage, right? You might have read a lot about some crazy podcast platforms that make you pay for podcasts and all that sort of stuff. Don't pay for podcasts. Don't pay for a service. You want to check out this new app. It's called Swoot, S-W-O-O-T, Swoot Podcast with Friends. And here's kind of like, we all talked about the potential of Google Podcasts and what it can do, and it never quite lived up to it. And after checking out Swoot, I really feel like it's something that could potentially be pretty cool, in that it is a podcast aggregator, podcast players. You can subscribe to podcasts, listen to them, etc. But it also allows you to connect with your friends and see what other people are listening to. So there you can see that I started following Jason, right? And so you can look and you can see the podcasts I subscribe to. So if there are people who you follow online on Twitter or on Facebook or are friends with that you admire and that you really want to kind of take to heart what they listen to and get their recommendations without actually talking to them, when you connect with them on Swoot, you can see what they subscribe to. So if you go back to the home screen there, actually right. So on the main home screen, it's real simple. You got three options. You can go to My Podcasts, you can go to your downloads, and go to your friends' activity. So if you go to My Podcasts, and then you also get your latest episodes, a nice little feed. But here are all the podcasts that you're subscribed to. But if you hit that there, but you can also see who you know that is also subscribed to it. So you can see All About Android. Both you and I have subscribed to it. You see our little avatars, right? And so that gives an indicator that Jason, that is a podcast I listen to and enjoy.
Me too.
If you go back to the main screen and you go to friend activity, right? And so you can see we don't have any friends right now. You can see there's not a lot of what's going on. But if you tap on the trending side of things, right? And you can see what other people are listening to of the user base. And you can see kind of what is interesting and what kind of what is popular. It's a great tool for discovery. And it's and what I find the best way to discover new stuff is to see what the people that I trust and I you know, who I often listen to for recommendations are listening. And this makes it real easy to do that. So it just came out. It's a brand new app. Not a lot of people are on it. So it's an opportunity for everybody to get on and start sharing with, you know, sharing with each other and sharing the podcast that you listen to. I like it. Very nicely designed, very clean. Makes it real easy to set it up and connect to everything. It's free, so give it a shot. Why not? So it's called Swoot in the Google Play Store. There you
Swoot.
Go.
Swoot.
Sweet.
Swoot yep. app. Swoot. That app's really swoot. Swoot, there it is, says Cousin of Jean. Okay. Yep. Dang it, why did I say that out loud?
That was really good.
All right. Good app. Sweet. I like yeah. it. That'll be really, really interesting when there's a large community kind of
that's
sharing
the thing.
Across
yeah, as long as people are using it and they're people you know and you can build up that network, then yeah. it could be pretty powerful.
Totally.
So it's Last FM for podcasts?
Kind of, yeah. I can see that.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of miss Last FM. I still use it. It didn't go anywhere. It's still there.
Yeah, you can still Scrabble, right?
Yeah,
Scrabble you can still Scrabble through Spotify.
Kind of still a thing. My app, all right, I was on This Week in Google a couple of weeks ago, and I did show this app off then, but I really wanted to bring it here because I actually have been using it a decent amount. I like it, and it's worth knowing about it. It hasn't been in the arena, so it's getting a second shot here. This app is called All Trails. And very recently I've been, you know, wanting to, my wife and I have been wanting to kind of get more into like hiking. We live in Sonoma County. There's a lot of really great places to go hiking around here. Just kind of seems like a lot of fun to do now that the weather's improving and everything. Well, All Trails is a way to kind of tap into kind of a community around hiking paths, biking paths, you know, running paths. All these different places, whether they're posted officially or not, this is a way for people to kind of share some of these paths and actually have deeper integration as far as how they track their fitness around, you know, around those paths and everything like that. It does have a free trial, though there is a yearly cost for this. It's $29.99 for the year. So you pay per year. And they tout 60,000, more than 60,000 trail maps. But you can kind of see here, like, this is near me, right? Location is on, showing 250 trails near me, and you can kind of organize this. You know, there's filters down here, so you can really get in there. Like, show me only the closest things, and I like moderate difficulty. I'm really looking to go backpacking and maybe, you know, hiking. I would love to be able to do some fishing, maybe even some camping or whatever, and I want it to be more than 3 stars. I don't want it to suck. Go ahead and apply. Those filters are too strong. Okay, I just put in too much stuff. So let's kind of take some of these. I'm imagining the more you do and the what to do, you're probably going to kind of limit things. So let's just keep it simple here. Okay, so here are 3 paths. Paula Marin Trail to Limantower Beach. You can see there's, you know, 3 ratings on here. It's a pretty easy path. If I go in here, you can kind of take a look at some of the photos along the way. These are pictures that people have taken along those paths. 12 photos to be, oh, that looks pretty. 12 photos have been taken to be exact. And then you take a look down here on the map and you can kind of see where it is and where along the path those photos have been taken. You also see a little elevation map. So from the beginning of the path, you know, you're hiking up, down, really steep. So this part is probably going to be a little strenuous. It tells you kind of where the elevation is from the beginning all the way up. The total distance of this, 16.8 miles. This is no small hike. This is a pretty serious one. But you can kind of zoom in, and as I said, like, you could tap on any of these, and people leave little notes as you go along at different, you know, lat long points along the path. And down here, of course, you have little reviews and everything. Nice trail to take to Wildcat Camp, and that's what one person said. And you could review it, of course, yourself as well. Now, when you've got the paid version, you can do things like download. So I could download this for offline, which when you're going hiking is probably a really good idea, just in case you lose your connectivity, you can do that. And then when you set out on the path, well, you can get directions to go there. So I could launch into directions, and this is going to take me right to the beginning of that path, right, in my Google Maps. But when you get there and you set out, you hit record. It takes you to this kind of screen, and obviously it would identify you at the beginning of the path. You'd hit record, and it'll record your kind of your travel along the way. If you veer off the path, the map will kind of change to note where you went, or maybe someone posts that path, but they decided to go an alternate route. You could actually choose to go their route. You can, of course, take pictures along the way, and then they'll be embedded into the map and those points. All sorts of things that you can do. You can also load on different, let me see, how do I get to the different map layers? Is that it? Layers. There you go. You got different layers that you can embed as well. So if you want, the terrain, the topographical map, there's a satellite image, all the open street maps layers that you can do in there. All of these can be downloaded independently. So if one's more important to you than another, this will do that for you. It's just a really great app for finding and exploring, essentially. Let's see if I remove all of my filters. Well, here, I'll go to my profile. So I've got, let's see here, stats. I went a couple of different places. These are like my overall stats that you can kind of nerd out on. I've also done, I've done a couple, and I did one 5 days ago, the mountain trail. And you can kind of see this was my specific hike going all the way up and going all the way back. This is an out and back path. And yeah, it was pretty steep. By the end, we were 2,500 feet up from 600 feet. So, and it gives you the weather readout and all that kind of stuff. It's called All Trails. If you're looking to get outside, right now is kind of the best time to do that. Check it out. I think it's a really great app. It's well designed, and there's actually a really great community on here. So you're almost guaranteed to find some activity around you. And I find a lot of activity here in the Bay Area. And, it'll get you out of the house, walking on some paths or riding on them with your bike or whatever. So it's called All Trails. Check it out. All right. And
very, very cool.
Yeah.
I don't like going outside, but if I did.
If you did, this would be your favorite app in the world, Ron. and then Flo, your app, I think we were talking before the show, we were like, how on earth did this not end up in the arena at some point?
I'm baffled.
Strange. I've got it installed, so go ahead and talk about it.
Okay, so I brought to the fold SMS Backup and Restore Pro, which I think is just a well-known app amongst the Android community. It's been around for a long time, but I've actually haven't used it. I didn't use it until recently when I broke my Pixel and I had to kind of carry everything with me on another phone. So I found that SMS Backup and Restore Pro, it's got like everything I wish that Android did natively in with regards to backing up my call logs, SMS and MMS. So Jason just logged in. So
I'm afraid to kick off the backup because I don't want to show a bunch of stuff. But
no, it doesn't show it. It doesn't show it if you do. It doesn't. It does not show you the messages.
Okay. 906 messages unprotected.
So it will walk you through a little dialogue window to kind of like get you set up. And it'll let you choose which cloud account you'd like to back up to. I have my text messages backed up to Dropbox. But if you want, you could back them up to Google Drive or to OneDrive. Or actually, you can also email them to yourself. They export as an XML file. Hmm. And they're actually easily convertible into other files if you need that sort of thing. And so if you just go ahead and hit next.
Oh, sorry. It's saying I need to
configure. Oh, now you've got to log in. All right. Well, I can just sit here and talk about all the stuff it does. So, this, we talk a lot about like the things that we wish Android did. And I think that this is how I wish that SMS would work all the time, which is that it just every day, this app, you can set it so that it backs up everything periodically. So whenever like you plug in your phone, then all of your stuff gets backed up over Wi-Fi. And I'm kind of kicking myself for not thinking to have this installed for so long. But the thing is, the last couple of years, I was switching from Pixel to Pixel to Pixel. So I was transferring things over with that physical cable that comes in the box. This is a much better way to do it. The only thing is, if you restore it on a text, like on threads that already exist, it'll double up, which kind of gets weird, but you know, I guess better safe than sorry to have double up things. I totally think it's worth the $5 because I don't have to deal with any ads. The ads can be like really intense, but other than that, I mean, this is just, I just think everybody should have this app on their phone if they really care about their text messages and call logs.
So fun fact, I was shocked that this wasn't already in the arena because I've been using this app for several years. I swear by this app. And here I am advocating for Flo's app, but this is the best app you can get.
It is. It's like the only app I've been able to find that does the job the way I want it to do the job. And it's very simple to use. Anybody can set it up. So if you want to get it set up on maybe a parent's phone or a kid's phone, so you can have things backed up to the cloud and see what's happening. I'm not saying that's what you should do because it's like surveillance or whatever, but you know, whatever. You could do that if you wanted to, I guess. So SMS Backup and Restore Pro. You can try it for free if you want, or you can pay $5 and get rid of those ads and also support your devs.
Yes, support your devs. SMS Backup and Restore Pro, $4.99. Nice. Very nice pick. And now I'll be backed up because I just set that up on the show and it was super easy.
Yes.
All right, so twit.to/AAAPoll 417 is where you'll go to place your vote for your favorite app this week. twit.to/AAAPoll 417 is your favorite app. Swoot, the podcast app that Ron brought in. All Trails, the hiking app that Ron will probably not use. And SMS Backup and Restore Pro, Ron's backup and restore app that Flo is also using now. Sorry to focus this on you, Ron. It just kind of happened that way. twit.to/AAAPoll 417. And Victor's cursor is swirling. And
I can't argue with that choice.
Yeah, Victor likes to back up his SMSs. His SMSI.
I like to back up my SMSs to Google Drive, and they're all I have got them all there. It's wonderful.
Wow, how big is that backup?
It's not that big. SMSs.
Yeah, it's not that big actually.
Yeah, let's see. I'm gonna see how big the file is. One second. Here we go. Google Drive. Loading, spinning. So interesting, fun fact, my Gmail account that I've been using since day one, like when they had the beta, what year was that, 04, 05?
Yeah, something like that.
I ran out of storage, and I am now a Google One customer. I paid to get 100 gig of storage on my Google Drive thing now. And so in my icon in the upper right-hand corner, there's a red, blue, green, and yellow circle because now I get like Google One support if I want it.
Yep.
Lucky.
It's only $2 a month. It's kind of fun for $2 a month.
And really, when you think about all the time and all the stories that you've gotten, for free, you're like, okay, I could start paying $2.
Well,
I have a business.
Part of the reason why I had to pay for storage is because I just lied to you and I said the SMS messages aren't that large. I have 4 backups and each file is 1 gigabyte.
Oh.
Okay, so 4 gigs.
But those are 4 individual backups of 1 XML file that is 1 gig.
So are they all sequential or do you?
Yeah, no, I've got this one is July 15th, 2018, December 11th, 2018, January 1st, 2019. It's pretty much every time I get a new phone.
Oh, okay.
I have every text message going back. Oh, do you want to do this? Let's see. Okay.
I only go back a couple of years.
I'd be
surprised if yours go back.
Yeah, no, I don't even. I've lost.
Okay, my oldest text message is August. It's not that far. August 18th, 2017.
Oh.
And it was my pickup order for a sub sandwich was ready.
I'm happy you have that still.
Yeah, I know. So am I.
Also, it just shows the stuff that accumulates in our messages.
And then August 23rd, I have my friend Scott asking if I wanted to go to a show. And I said, I can't. I've got pinball. I can grab a beer later if you're around. That was August 23rd, 2017. I thought it would go back further.
2017 was a simpler time for Ron.
So 2 years is 1 gigabyte of messages. That's a lot of messages.
Yeah. And that includes photos in your messages and all that, too.
Yeah.
Hey, dark mode on the messages app. Pretty cool.
Hey.
Yeah.
Finally.
I love Google Messages. That's a great app.
It is. I've been using it more. I like it a lot.
Yep.
Okay. So
it's actually fine.
What's that?
Oh, sorry. I was just saying it's actually a fine app.
It is a fine app.
It's fine.
It's fine.
Fine.
It's okay. Fine. Whatever. Triple
Oh, wait a minute. Hey, I just found another XML backup from November 19th, 2017. That's only 332 meg. Why is that a gig? That's crazy.
I thought, Ron, that you had your SMSs backed up like forever.
I do. I don't know where they are though. They might be in a file. They might be in a file on my desktop at home.
I'd be curious to know what your text message that you have backed up, when it's from and what it says.
I go through large periods of like being obsessive about having every message I send because I had it in my head that I remember in college I read a book of like all of Jack Kerouac's letters, like his correspondence. Mm-hmm. And I was like, when I'm famous, they're going to do a book of all my correspondence. So I better save every email. no, but I do have every email. I have a PC with a hard drive that has every email from 1995 until like 07.
Uh-huh.
And then I have on my desktop at home, I have all my email from 07 until whenever I switched off of Pop3 to Google. And now it's all on Google. So
do you ever bust that out and
sometimes
read
I do.
Old emails?
Sometimes I do.
Like, I remember sending that email, or probably more specifically, I remember that event in my life that email was referring to.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's the real.
Because otherwise you probably forget about a lot of these random. You know,
sometimes it's an unfortunate email, like an old boyfriend.
Well, sadly, that's a lot of them is
kind of
going down memory lane that we should have stayed quiet.
Should filter those out somehow.
I'm trying to see if I can find my first email in my Gmail account because they're all in there.
I was in Yahoo for a long time, so that's where my history went.
I was in Yahoo as well, but all of those are gone.
Yeah. My account got hacked.
It did?
Oh, really?
Yeah. My Yahoo account back in the day.
Oh. And did they wipe out all your emails or something?
It just got flooded with garbage, so I had to just shut it
Yahoo
down.
Yahoo mail for me.
I couldn't even back it up.
Yeah. That's just Yahoo mail. Flooded with garbage. I'm probably upset somebody out there. I'm sorry.
Like a huge Yahoo Mail fan?
Yes. That is not true. I'm emailing them right now. That's it for this week. We're done. We've reached the end of this episode. It's always fun getting the chance to do the show with you both and just us. I like doing the show just us sometimes.
It's fun.
But we've got some good episodes coming up with guests that include us, but also others. Next week, David Immo from Android Authority is going to be on. He's going to be on in studio even. So got that to look forward to. And then the week after that, it's I.O. And who the heck knows what's happening then? I'm still figuring that out.
Yeah.
But we have a lot to look forward to. Flo, thank you for hopping on tonight. It was fun talking with you. What do you want people to know?
I am going to actually now start writing about why I bring some apps to the arena. So check Flow Feed tomorrow. That's FlorenceIon.com.
Cool. FlorenceIon.com.
Yes.
AKA the Flow Feed.
Yes.
Very nice. And five things to know about the LG G8 ThinQ. ThinQ is there as well. Ron, what about you, sir?
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at RonXO and on Instagram at RonXO. And just working and living and doing the day-to-day thing. You know, that's about it. No other real updates on any of my other projects. So I won't bother you there. Go see Avengers. That's what you're going to do this weekend.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Oh, okay. I don't know
that's
how
right,
you
that's
did
this weekend.
I don't know how you did that without moving your lips. It was really weird.
It's amazing. Oh, I see. I can see you guys. That's crazy.
Okay.
Oh, well.
All right.
That's fine.
Hey, well, we heard you, and that's the most important thing.
That's important. Yes.
Ron, thank you. And Victor, thank you for everything that you do.
Thank you, Victor.
No problem.
Thank you for all that you do. And Alex, thank you for looking at your phone this whole show. Appreciate it.
Oh, Alex is there. Hi, Alex.
He's like, I just picked it up. No, I've been watching. You've been checking your phone this entire time, and I'm horribly offended.
Okay, not true. Thank you for helping. Whatever it is you're doing today.
A warm body.
Yes, that's true. Making me feel like I'm not alone here in the studio. You can find me all over the Twit Network. Of course, Tech News Weekly happens in a couple of days, and then this show, and then I do a review for Hands on Tech. I think I have a review coming up here very soon. Although I'm not going to mention it yet because I don't know if the product is out yet. But anyways, look for that, twit.tv/HOT. But that is it for this week. Leave us a voicemail, 347-SHOW-AAA. Send us emails at AAA@twit.tv. Find us on Twitter @AndroidShow. You can find our Arena apps list at twit.to/AndroidApps. There you're going to find all the apps that we've put into the Arena throughout the course of this entire show's existence. And thanks to the folks who help maintain that. Also, show notes and past episodes can be found at our place on the web, which is twit.tv/AAA. There you're going to find us laughing, and you're going to find podcast information, and all the episodes are listed there so you can catch up, so you don't miss any of the twists and turns of this series, because from episode to episode, things get weird. And characters die, and you just never know what's going to happen. Never know what's going to happen. Anything could happen on All About Android. And you can catch us live every Tuesday starting at 5 p.m. Pacific at twit.tv/live, just like this week where we actually started at 5 p.m. Pacific. It's amazing. It's like 6:20 right now. I don't know what to do with myself, except I do. And that's I'm going to go home because it's my little girl's birthday. And so I'm going to help celebrate her birthday. And so thank you, everyone, for doing the show on time instead of later like we usually do. On that note, thank you so much for watching. We'll see y'all next week on another episode of All About Android. Bye, everybody.